It's a Tuesday morning. We're here bright and early with our political observer, Alan Chartok. And let's go to Cuba. What a day yesterday with the president in Cuba, Alan. And the headline, Obama and Castro reopen old wounds. They even had a press conference, disputes over human rights, marred a groundbreaking meeting between President Obama and President Raul Castro, and underscored lingering impediments to a historic thaw.
Well, David, you know, the old Cuban model, which is basically dictatorship, but dictatorship for good, they say. You know, universal health care, everybody gets an even break in terms of education. And that's very different from some of the models we see here in this country. On the other hand, here, if you want to speak out and say something is wrong, you can do that. And that can only be good in that it allows for free discussion and freer politics. And so there is this sort of meeting of these two cultures. Obama, for his part, goes there and basically says, look, we've been wrong all of these years. We should have done better. And even after I leave the presidency, he reassures everybody, we're going to still have this rapprochement. We'll see. I'm assuming that if Hillary Clinton is the president, we will. I'm assuming that if Cruz is the president, we won't. And that is the way that we are seeing this historic series of events unfolding. The very fact that Raul Castro was pushed into having to answer open questions in an open press conference tells you a great deal about what dictatorships are like. And God forbid you should be one of those people who open their mouths and say, I don't like the way something is working, and you get shoved in jail. That isn't good. On the other hand, look, we do business with China. We do business with Saudi Arabia. There's no good reason in the world we shouldn't be dealing with the Cubans and hoping that by doing that, we can move them forward.
It's interesting to hear about many of the Cuban Americans who are older and remember the Castro dictatorship very well and are really not happy about some of this stuff.
Well, this is really interesting, David. As you know, the younger generation of Cubans are not in sync with the older generation. The ones who came here and who fled, and they were basically middle-class people and others, they hate the Castros, and I can understand their position. On the other hand, the young people are saying, hey, we want to go back, we want to do business, we want to have relationships with our homeland, and they are very different from the older generation. And I think that that's one thing that we're taught now. You know, Florida has always been a linchpin in any presidential election. And as a result of that, those older Cubans had a tremendous sway over the way in which we did our politics in America. But then suddenly, things have changed. And Florida is no longer in the corner of those people who are that anti-Cuban Castro. And so it's all changed. And to some degree, you know, the president of the United States has the wind at his back as he makes these changes.
From the WAMC website this morning, a really interesting article about Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and the vote abroad among Democrats, Alan. And it says that Sanders beat Clinton 69% to 31% in a year of record turnout for American Democratic voters living overseas. More than 34,000 people participated, a 50% jump from 2008. Sanders picked up 9 pledged delegates to Clinton's 4.
Well, I don't have any doubt that many of the people in Europe themselves, forget about just Americans in Europe, are wildly for a more left-wing approach to our government and a more equitable approach as they see it. So I'm not surprised that the people who live among them who are Americans feel the same way. This is not the evangelical groups that are going to turn out in large parts for the Republicans in this election. So it's a very different group of people who are making these decisions.
Finally agreeing on a message in the conservatives' Supreme Court fight.
I don't see how the Republicans make anything out of this. They're like two-year-olds. They're stomping their feet. They're saying, we don't want it to change. We want that same 5-4 majority we've had, Gore versus Bush and everything else that comes down. And the people who are giving us money want that. And we just won't have it. So here we have the Republicans in dire need because of their split in their party between Trump and Cruz and all the rest of them. And at the same time, they are really taking it on the chin, and they will continue and should continue to take it on the chin for not letting the president make his choice and then up or down vote. They just won't do it. They're in between a rock and a hard place. And no matter how much they scream and cry, they're really in for it now.